Amen. Okay, so before we move into main message, I just want to say something. On Friday at the Home Fellowship, we were talking about laying up our treasure in heaven. You know, and I like the question one of the youth asked. He said, you know, how can you transfer your treasure from earth to heaven? So the first thing we explained was that the treasure you are laying up in heaven is the same treasure you have on earth. Because he said, do not lay up your treasure on earth, but lay it up in heaven. So it's not a different type of treasure. It's all the treasures you have on earth. And what is a treasure? A treasure is anything that is valued. It includes beauty. You know, one of the questions I didn't answer on Friday was, use your beauty to lay up treasure in heaven? You can, but I'm not answering it now. Anything that is valued in this life is a treasure. Okay? And what we said, I'm just recapping, is that anytime you use your treasure is not just money. Your influence, your connection, anything that is valued is a treasure. Anytime you use it for the glory of God. Anytime you use it to add spiritual value. What I wanted to recap is, I was saying on Friday, add value. But the value I mean is spiritual value. It's not just value. So I was talking about when you go to work, you know, if you have a job description, and all you ever did was your job description, and that's all you ever did at work, you get your salary. That's the only reward you ever get. God will not give you any reward. Your reward is your salary. But if at work, in doing your work, you're adding spiritual value. And spiritual value is not just only like when you directly preach to somebody. When you bear fruit of the Spirit, while doing your work, you know, the diligence, the compassion, the patience, the kindness, the self-control, you are adding spiritual value to that work. Hallelujah. That's beyond your salary. Amen. God, that's the one God will reward. So you lay, your heavenly reward is what has no earthly reward. Amen. So as a pastor, and I do receive a salary from this church, if all the work I did in this church is just for my salary, I have my reward. Amen. But every extra mile you go, someone say extra mile. Every extra mile you go, your father sees it. And he said he sees it in secret, because others may not see. Others may not acknowledge you for it. Others may not thank you for it. In fact, in going the extra mile, your ego may be rubbed under the carpet. In fact, if your ego is not yet rubbed under the carpet, you are not going the extra mile. Amen? Your comfort is sacrifice. Your convenience will sacrifice. That's extra mile. Your patience will be tested. Amen? It's like nobody may come and thank you for it. The Bible says your father who sees in secret. I want to understand that secret. It doesn't mean like he's seeing what you're doing when you're hiding in your room. No. It means others are not seeing it. Others, they are not being he sees in secret means you are not being rewarded for it. It's like you have no reward. It's like you're just, you know, suffering. He said he sees it. Amen? And he will reward you openly. Both on earth, but much more for eternity. Hallelujah. Heavenly reward is all about volunteering your treasure for the service of the Lord. That's the one. Anything you do for God, including church, that you can't be paid for, heavenly reward. Now, someone say, what about my children? As a parent, you have a duty to take care of your children. This is where almost every naming I go to, this is what I preach. Children are a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I don't think many people understand that scripture. Why is the fruit of the womb a reward? Let me ask one or two people. He said, the children are a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Now, I'm looking for those who have not heard me preach about this. Why is the fruit of the womb a reward? I won't call some people who I feel they've heard me. Yes? Any idea? Why is the fruit of the womb a reward? Come on, try something. You know what? It's okay to be wrong. That's how we learn. Yeah? It's all about humility. So just give us your own idea. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be right. Why is the fruit of the womb a reward? She's laughing.
Yes, this angle. Why is the fruit of the womb a reward? Why is the fruit of the womb? Why is having children a reward? Say, children are a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward.
Joy. It brings joy.
It brings joy, okay. Yes. Why is it? Now, remember, when we say the fruit of the womb is a reward, you have to ask yourself, what is the reward and who is rewarding?
I'm just going to try. I'm not
try, sure. Try. Don't mind your trial.
I think it's because it's kind of like an assignment to make sure you raise them all properly, as also considering them as part of the body of Christ and preparing them for heaven. And
so why is it a reward?
Because you get the reward for doing that.
Thank you. Have a put your hands together for Sister Shelley. I've explained this to a bit before. People go off. You know, for example, we heard something like, grace is a free gift, so I can do just what I like. God is a God of purpose. As a father, when I give my children gifts, I expect it to be used in a particular way. Every gift from God is an assignment. Every. Think of anything you said is a gift, including your what you call your gifts and talents. It's not for nothing. It's free, but there's a purpose. Even the gift of the eternal life is free, but there is what? And we will be judged on how we use the gift. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's only talking to believers now, not unbelievers. Unbelievers will stand before the great white throne. But believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Kevin, come over. Come and sit here. We love you. He will do well. He knows the Bible very well. Sit down. A gift, say a gift, from God is free, but it's an assignment. Maybe from man. You know, if a man gives a gift, you like throw it away. But God is the greatest, is the one that has the greatest purpose. God is a God of purpose. There is nothing God does for nothing. There is purpose. And let me tell you something. If you're in a situation in your life and God intervenes, believe me, God has a superior motive. Don't just say, oh, it's free, and you walk away. No. No. Because God is always the one that is trying to restore your life. The devil is the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. So people make mistake when they're just using God like, what are they using for? Like an undertaker, just when they're in trouble. They miss the point. God has a motive. He wants to turn your life around and use you for his glory. Because at the end of life, that's what we matter. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's what we matter. So children are an assignment. Can I say my children? Even if you don't have one yet, you will have in Jesus' name. Say my children are my assignment. And the way I undo them will determine my reward. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you, and this is not, I was just explaining that, but what I was going to is this. If all you did for your children is food, clothing, and water, unbelievers do it. Amen? You should do it. You should provide food and clothing and what? Shelter, sorry. Not water. Shelter, you know? Some will go on, and beyond that, a good education. I know parents, they don't have time for church. They are Christian, born again, but you see them only 2 times in a month in church, and they will never attend another meeting. But when it comes to the education of their children, they are ready to die. Yeah? God is seeing their heart. Are you with me? God is seeing their heart. But what I was going to say is that all those things unbelievers can do. You know, people who don't know God, they can pursue these things. And sometimes they can do it better than you. Do you know? So you're not going to glorify God just by pursuing what unbelievers can. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying that is not enough. The aspect that will bring you reward is the training you give your children. When I say training, I mean godly values. He said, train up a child in the way that he should go. Godly values. Are you with me? That's where God's interest is. God's interest is not just that I want to give my child the best education. God's interest is that, well, give your child the best education, but give him worthy value so that good education, he can use it for my glory. Because if he got the best education, he doesn't have godly values, he will end up not using that thing for God's glory. He will end up using it to cause commotion. God will not be glorified, and there's no reward. He's like, you wasted your time. Are you with me? God's interest in everything we do is that it will be glorified. Hallelujah. So, when I'm training up my children, as I'm giving them food, I should give them the word. Hallelujah. Starting from an early age with Bible stories. I'm telling you, if a child is 2 years old, they should be reading Bible stories. They should be. Even at 2. Even at 1. The first book I started making my children read is the Bible story. That's the real story. It's not Cinderella. Cinderella is fake. Bible story is real. Hallelujah. You give them a good foundation. As they go, they will start asking you questions. You start passing on the godly values. When they are 16 or 18 and they leave home, you give them values. You say, when you train them in the way they should go, when they are old, they will not depart. Please don't misunderstand me. They can drift sometimes. But because they've received godly values, they will come back. Now, let me tell you where they can really drift. Pastor, are you with me? They can drift if you are teaching them the Bible, but you are living a different life. Hallelujah. It's like someone said, I teach my son, you know, the Bible. He reads his Bible every evening. He must. I discuss with him. But he sees that there's no love in my life. Always angry. Always unforgiving. He can see it. No, that's not true. But I'm saying he's seeing that. So he can see that my life does not agree with what I'm teaching him. So that what I'm teaching him cannot be true. Then of course he can depart. Hallelujah. If I'm telling my child that, oh, God does miracles. But all the time he grew up under my roof, he never saw one. When he was ill, only paracetamol and Kapol. Never prayed for him one day. How can he believe that God heals? Are you with me? But when he sees that, oh, the other day I had this, my dad prayed. I got better. And I didn't have to use Kapol. Then it's easy for him to believe that God heals. Amen? Now when he's outside, he's in trouble, he will pray. Because he's seen his dad pray, and there were answers. It's part of the training. That's what I'm saying. It's part of the training. Part of the training I give to my children is my lifestyle. Your lifestyle speaks volumes. I want to challenge us. Your lifestyle speaks volumes. That's why some people, it's very difficult for them to depart. They've seen the genuine life you lived. And you've given them the word. You've shown them the love of Christ, not just the love of buying toys. Are you with me? I know some people in this, they've left. They will not pay their tithe. I'm talking to some people that left, none of you, yeah? But the other day I saw them in Sainsbury. They were buying very expensive, all the offering they give, they're not very expensive toy for their 5-year-old daughter. That's selfish love. That's not genuine love. Hallelujah. Genuine love is the love of Christ. The love that is sacrificial. The love that honors God. The love that puts God first. When you live that life before them, it's difficult for them to depart because there's a witness in their heart that you are living the truth and that what you are teaching them is true. Amen? Now, add those godly values to any other thing they have, whether gifts or talents or education or whatever, God will be glorified. Hallelujah. Then, in their reward, you will have your reward. Praise the Lord. Can you see the connection? You will have your reward. We also saw, so I just reviewing this. We also talked about unfellowship. What are people who serve God? You know, they spend all their time serving God and they didn't attend to their children, they didn't attend to their home, and things turned upside down. Yeah? That's foolishness. Amen? The fact that God gave you a special assignment does not mean you ignore the other assignment. Are you with me? Hallelujah. All are assignments, but some are special. Not all assignments are equal. Do you get it? But every assignment you have is your assignment. Does it make sense? Yeah? Some people are called special assignments. You know, someone calls you to be an evangelist. 1 week, you have to travel and go and preach. Yeah? 1 week you are back home. So 1 week you are not at home with your children. The 1 week you are at home, give them double time. Double training. Because it's still your assignment. Praise the Lord. We cannot afford to walk in foolishness. Any part of your life you are walking in foolishness, you will suffer for it. And you will lose your reward. Two consequences. I didn't say well on Friday. You lose the reward, then you suffer. Because, for example, if your children don't do well in this world, who's we suffering? You. But as I was saying on Friday, the part you do well, God will reward you. God can never owe you nothing. Hallelujah. Any part you did well that God said, do this. The only time God will not reward is that if you are doing what he didn't tell you to do, or you are doing it with a wrong motive, he sees your heart. You can do the greatest work for Christ, but if it's a wrong motive, you have your reward. None from God. Hallelujah. But if you are doing it with a genuine heart, a heart of faith and love and hope, even if you were foolish in another part, you will get that reward, but you lose the other one. And on earth, you will suffer the consequences of your foolishness. And that's why the calling for us as believers is, we must aim to be wise in all our ways. What is wisdom? Let's have some answers. What is wisdom? Come on. No. I'm not going to. Yeah, because we discussed. Yes, someone else. What is wisdom? No, Mr. Claudia. Wisdom. Define wisdom for us in a way that will bless us.
To be able to have solutions for problems.
Okay. Solutions for problems. That's not the bad one. Yes. Let's go left. Kevin, what is wisdom? Take.
Righteousness.
Yes, not a bad answer. What is wisdom, sister?
Word of God.
The word of God, yes. Wisdom is the word of God, but how do we assess it now? Yes, but yeah, I agree. Because the Bible says that the entrance of his word, it brings what? Light. And it gives what? Understanding. But only to the simple. The simple are the humble. The proud will not get that understanding. Because a proud person is always smart in their own eyes. That's why they will continue to do the wrong thing and never change except the mercy of God. Okay? The solution to pride is someone to intercede. The proud person does not see. Spiritually blind. But someone must intercede. So according to mercy, their eyes will be open. What is wisdom? Anybody? This side? Yes, sorry. I forgot you were there. Wisdom?
Try.
Yes. Come on, try.
It's knowing what to do in a way that will yield a righteous result.
Yes, I like that. So Kevin said wisdom is righteousness, and that says knowing what to do in a way that will yield a righteous result. I tell you, any wisdom you have that will not yield a righteous result is not godly wisdom. It's devilish wisdom. You must always judge the result. Is it righteousness? If the end point is not righteousness, yeah, that's not from above. It's from below. Amen? So actually that answer shows us that not all wisdom is from above. There's devilish. It's in the Bible. James, he says it's sensual and it's devilish wisdom. The one that causes strife and confusion. One more. What is wisdom? Okay, two. What is wisdom?
The fear of the Lord.
Yes. You know, I have this way of teaching. I said, do you know, if you have reverence for God, if you are conscious that, you know, for example, when you want to do something, say, God is here. Can I do this if God was just standing beside me right now? If you can see God in everything you do, half of your mistakes will never be made. At least half. If you can, you know, like when you're angry with your wife or whoever, before you talk or act, you ask, God is here. What does he think? You will just control yourself. Amen? So you can see that most of the time, when we misbehave and do wrong things, like we can't see God. We say we have faith, but we can't see God. And Bible says that, if you have faith, really, you must believe that God is. Another version says, God exists and is a rewarder. When you can't see God, yeah, there's no reward. Because you are going to do it from a wrong motive. Yes, one more definition of wisdom.
Wisdom is knowing the truth and knowing when and how to apply it. It's also like seeing things the way God sees it.
Hallelujah. Wisdom is knowing the truth. I like that. Amen. He said, you shall know the truth. Sister, you said wisdom is finding solutions to problem. Yeah? But he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? In fact, actually, set is not the best translation. Amen? If you look at it from Greek, the best translation is, it shall make you free. For a Christian, Jesus has set you free when you got born again, isn't it? But his own, but you can still find bondages in your life. Amen? The truth asks you to take ownership of what Jesus, when you know the truth, you can walk in the light. Amen? And experience the freedom. Jesus has already paid for it. He set you free. Say, Jesus has set me free. So that's why I pity Christians who say they are born again and they just feel they can just do things anyhow. They feel they don't need to listen to the word of God. No. They feel they don't need to continue. No, because look, it's the truth you know that will set you free. And this truth is not knowledge in the head. It's revelation in the heart. Hallelujah. Every time you get revelation, you begin to see why something must change in your life. Hallelujah. Revelation causes change. Amen. When you have a revelation, you can see things differently. You can see people differently. You can see life differently. So, Jesus has set you free. But there are still areas in our life that we are walking in spiritual blindness. Because we have not received the revelation of what the word is saying. We may even know that word in our head, but it has not dawned on us. Hallelujah. It's the revelation, which we call Rhema, that will give you the victory. Amen? The revelation, the day you realize, I know you know it, that by stripes you are healed in your head. But the day you have the revelation, even when the symptom has come and it's like you are in trouble, from your spirit, the word will come and say, no way, I will finish my race. Hallelujah. I will finish it to the very end. I will not do that. I'm not dying. I'm living and I'm finishing it to the very end, till the rapture. Hallelujah. That's revelation from your heart. The truth makes you free. So wisdom is knowing the truth and being able to apply it. Thank you for that word, apply. You can know it, but not until you apply it before it gives you the result you're looking for. Let me give you my own extra, then I'll move to the next question. Wisdom. This is the one, two definitions I like. One, wisdom is understanding God's way of doing things. Any situation, if you can understand how God will approach it, wisdom. Amen? Any situation, circumstance, if you can understand the will of God in that matter, and what God will have you do, in that matter, you are in wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Another definition I like, he says, wisdom is the ability to know the difference. So we are in a situation, you can see the difference. So basically, in a situation, your head tells you, this is what you need to do, I need to prove my right now. Do you see? And in your head, with all the calculations in your brain, that's the only thing you can reason. That you have been cheated, you have been disrespected, you have been manipulated, that I need to teach somebody a lesson now. You understand? Even as you are thinking that all the Bible verses are coming to your mind, how you need to teach them the lesson. Hallelujah. But wisdom is you having a glimpse of, if I do this, what will happen? And where will it lead to? You can see the final destination. I don't like that destination. I'm not going to go there. The ability to know the difference. You can see it well ahead and say, it's too costly. Amen? When you're under temptation, the temptation may be very appealing. It may be like everything in your body is shaking. But wisdom is, if I do this, where is it going to? The ability to know the difference. Yeah? It's wisdom. Amen? Say, I desire wisdom. And I receive wisdom. In Jesus' name. Someone said wisdom is the word of God. I say that wisdom, it comes from the word of God. Because the word of God will show you God's way of doing things. Amen? That's why it's important that you keep listening and hearing the word. Hallelujah.
Because that word will renew your mind. It will help you start thinking like a child of God. Hallelujah. Not like a minister of Satan. Amen. Hallelujah. Like a child of God. Hallelujah. Let me throw this in. For example, in this society we have, you know, there are some jobs that they pay you higher rate on Sunday. Is that Claudia, are you there? Does it apply? Amen. Is that Claudia, my example? Good example, by the way. They pay you higher rate on Sunday. So some people, they think they have wisdom. They will miss church. And go and earn what? Higher rate. It's not wisdom. It's smartness. It's smartness. Yeah, smart. Yeah? But it's not what? Wisdom. Because wisdom tells you that in the long time, your spiritual life will go down. Now, the consequence of your spiritual life going down is that you become more a vessel for the devil than for God. When your spiritual life goes down, the devil finds it easy to use you. You'll be surprised. You're still born again, but he will use you. Hallelujah. But when your spiritual life goes up, you find that you'll be achieving righteousness. So wisdom in that sense says, I will lose the money. I'll work on Saturday, or Monday, or Tuesday, or Friday. But Sunday, I'll be where? Enjoy. Praise the Lord. Okay, I preach for 10 more minutes and we finish. I don't want a long message. Let's open our Bible to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And just read some few verses and then take some questions on it regarding the name of Jesus and we'll finish. James chapter 4. Well done, Kevin. James chapter 4. Yes, why I quoted Sakoda was that they offered her a Sunday shift and she turned it down. That's a true disciple. Amen? It's not that she didn't need the money. Hallelujah. 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 But she chose to honor God. And the Father who saw what you did in secret, he will reward you openly. Hallelujah. You know, God never said you should not work. He just says that you should give back his own portion to him. Give unto Caesar what belongs to what? Caesar. Give unto God what belongs to God. There is a percentage of your time that belongs to God. If you don't give it to God, you are stealing. There's a percentage of your money that belongs to God. If you don't give it, what are you doing? There may be reasons, but you're still stealing. There's a percentage of your resources or talent that belongs to God. He didn't say you cannot use your talent for other things. Yeah? But if you don't give that part to God, it's stealing. For example, we're saying on Friday, your gift and talents, I didn't say you cannot use to earn money. I didn't say. So like, Bratola is my example here. He plays the keyboard. I know Stanika will smile very soon. Amen? I didn't say you can't go and play somewhere and they give you honorarium or even something. But we are saying that when you are in your own church or in a church that is familiar to you, that gift must be given to God voluntarily. Hallelujah. It's the only the voluntary things you do that have heavenly reward. The one they pay you for, you have your reward. Except you did more than what they paid you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you go and minister somewhere and you know you can't, I've gone to minister places, I was expecting they would give me an honor. Nothing happened. But I still went, I did. In my human emotions, I didn't feel good. But that's where God will test you. Why did you go? Was it for the money or to bless those lives? So I went back and said, Father, I thank you for the opportunity I had to bless those lives. You know who will reward me, don't you? It's him. Hallelujah. Or maybe you go, maybe they call you to places, and you know, this one will give you double. And this one will give you less. And the Holy Spirit is telling you, go to the one that is less because they need that. I want you, they say never. Amen? When you go, you have your reward, but you don't have the blessing. You need the blessing more than the reward because you will spend that money, brother. Even if you save it, somebody else will spend it for you. That's what the Bible said.
He said somebody will spend it. But the blessing is what you need. Amen? So I will now go to the lower one because the Holy Spirit will go there. Minister, take what they have, but what I have given more than what they could give me is the Lord will reward me. Amen? So in your own church, your gifts and your talents should be given voluntarily to move that church forward. The Lord will reward you. You are laying up treasure where? In heaven. Now, but on that side, you can still go. I mean, like if there was a wedding event, Christian wedding, and you say, we need to come and play. Okay, you can negotiate. Hallelujah. So long it's not on Sunday, because someone else will do is that they will go for that one on Saturday, maybe it's at night, because of the money, and miss church on Sunday. That's wickedness. You may not see it that way, but I'm telling you. Because you chose God more. Now, of course, there are sometimes, you know, like if you are regular in church all the time, and this is a very important event, you can have permission. But you can't just arbitrarily cut church because you want to go and make money. Hallelujah. You can't. We must see God. We must see God in everything we do. Sometimes it can be a sacrifice. I know people in this church that they go for night shifts. You know, whether voluntarily or compulsorily. They go for night shift on Saturday, including my wife. But they will still come on Sunday. Even when your body is half, you know, tired and sleep, God sees it. And he will reward you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you know that one, nobody is paying you for it. What your body prefers to do is go and sleep. Amen. Amen. Nobody, you don't come and pastor will give you money. Ah, you okay. Take £50. Just for coming after night shift. Hallelujah. Anything you can't get an earthly reward for, and you give offer it to God, he will reward you in due time. And there's an heavenly reward that's waiting for you. Hallelujah. This is a love story. If we love God, we got to treat him right. And you're not treating God right until you're treating the church right, because the church is the body of... I think the day I realized that, it's a great revelation for me. There's the good. You can't separate Jesus from his church. There's some that say, you know, again, I'm not talking to anybody here. I heard this, you know, last 2 weeks. Someone said, all the churches are wrong. If all the churches are wrong, you have heavy load of spiritual problem in your head. And nobody can help you because all the churches are wrong. And you see the problem? All the churches cannot be wrong. Some may be, but can't be all. If all the churches are wrong, Jesus has retired. You know why? They cut his head from his body. Don't you get it? If all churches are wrong, Jesus has no body. He's a headless body. Not possible. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail. If all the churches are wrong, you are the person that is wrong. And you need to repent and amend. The church is the body of Christ. If I love Jesus, yeah? The way I can prove it is my devotion and service. Yeah? To the body. Because anything Jesus will do on this earth today, he needs a body. And that body is what? The church. Hallelujah. You know, my message has moved to the other direction. It's not planned. Let me take one question. We finish. James 4:7. Can we just read it? James 4:7. Kevin? James 4:7. Then we finish with that. James chapter 4 verse 7. Just following your Bible. James chapter 4 verse 7.
Say, humble yourselves before God.
Humble yourself before God. Another version says, submit yourself to what? To God. Yes. Next one.
Resist the devil.
Resist the devil.
And he will flee from you.
And he will flee from you. So I want to ask two questions. Firstly, as you're reading that, I'm finding that actually, it is possible to resist the devil and he's not fleeing if you don't miss the first condition. It looks like your ability to resist the devil is conditional on your submitting yourself to God. Hallelujah. If you're in a platform of disobedience or rebellion, your faith may not work. Yeah? I didn't say will not. I said may not. It depends on which area of your life you are being in disobedience. Amen? How can you submit yourself to God? Two questions. The two questions is how can you submit yourself to God and how can you resist the devil? So, first one, how can you submit yourself to God? Quickly. What are the first steps? I have one word in my mind. If you're going to submit yourself to God, what do you need? As a Christian, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking. Have you met tongue-talking believers that commit, that do terrible things? No, don't get it twisted. People who speak in tongues can do terrible things. You know what? The Bible says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the... Like, you can. Because if you don't control your flesh, you will be talking in tongues, you will be doing bad things. And you still be talking in tongues while you are doing it. Yes? How can you submit yourself to God?
Having faith in his name.
Yes, that's right. Having faith in his name. I like that. What's the most basic thing you need if you want to submit yourself to God? The most basic. I mean, if you got that right, that's a pound. The most basic thing you need to submit to God. Just for you. Special offer.
I was going to say faith.
No, that's not the answer. The basic first step to submitting to God. Yeah? The first step to submitting to God is not faith in his name. There's a first step before that. It looks tricky, but it is a first step. Any other person? Let's try with that. What is the first step to submitting to God? It's very simple.
Yield in humility.
Yield, yes, yes, but you don't hit the word.
Humble?
No. It's along that line. It's along that line. Believing, yes, but there's something that will stop you from believing. What did Peter say when he was preaching? In Acts, the first sermon he preached. No. You know the word? Repent. So when they say, repent and believe. Repentance comes before faith. Amen? Because without repentance, you cannot enter through faith. Yeah? A hardened heart cannot be in genuine faith. A rebellious heart cannot be in genuine faith. Amen? That's why you have some people that have confessed that Jesus is love, but they are still not born again. Because their heart has not repented. Yeah? They've not turned away and say, I'm done with the whole life. I'm following Jesus. Repent and believe. Amen? Repentance is something you must continue to do until you enter glory. If you want to live a real Christian life. Because your pride and your selfishness will ensure that you will miss it from time to time. Amen? Everybody has pride. They just have it at a different level. Some have maximum, some have minimum, but everybody has a measure. Amen? It comes from the fallen nature. Everybody has selfishness too, in different level. Some are maximally selfish. Everybody calls them selfish. But some is just minimum. Do you get it? So that's why we always need to repent. If I'm going to somebody and say, God, I need to repent. Lord, I missed it. I'm sorry. It's that simple. Then you are ready to resist the devil. Amen? Okay, last question. How can you resist the devil? I would say you should resist the devil, yeah? How?
Is it by having faith?
Yes, in all cases, you need faith if you are submitting to God, repentance and faith. You also need faith if you are resisting the devil, yeah? But what are the other basic things? What's it? Yes.
You study the word of God and you stand firm against the devil.
That's the word, the part I'm looking for is the second part you said. I just want to emphasize it for the benefit of us all. The fact that you started off resisting the devil is not the end of the game. You must stand firm. Amen? You must stand your ground. Sometimes you have symptoms that are telling you you're in trouble. You stand your ground. I say, Satan, this is not for me. Leave. I refuse it. I reject it. I forbid it. The symptom is coming again. I say, I refuse it. I reject it. I forbid. You quote the scripture. See, this is what the Bible said. I stand on that truth. I stand my ground. You must persevere in your faith. Those who have the greatest victories, yeah? They will have to persevere. Hallelujah. Remember that? How many times did the devil tempt Jesus in the wilderness? Did he go the first time? No. By the way, that's not the end of Jesus' temptation. The Bible said the devil left him for a while. And the Bible then tells us that Jesus was tempted in every point as we are. So every day, Jesus faced temptation. Amen? You must stand firm. You must stand your ground. Don't back off. Don't give in. Don't give up. Sometimes symptoms, negative, look, God delivered the children of Israel, yeah, from Egypt, isn't it? He gave them that last plague of the death of the firstborn. And Pharaoh said, you can go. Isn't it? They were happy. They sang. We moved. Then what happened? He changed his mind. And sent the whole army against them. Yeah? So sometimes, or even many times, you may resist that way and it looks like he's not yet going. You know what he's doing? He's testing the depth of your faith. He's testing the depth of your faith. And the way to prove to the devil that your faith is deep is to stand your ground. Believe that what you are saying will come to pass. Refuse to doubt. I want you to understand it's your choice. Don't think doubt is not your choice. There's a difference between doubt in your head and doubt in your heart. The doubt in your head may not be your choice. It's also your choice. If you control what you are hearing and seeing, you can reduce doubt in your head. But you can't always eliminate doubt in your head because you are interacting with the world. But you can refuse doubt in your heart. What's the difference? When you believe the doubt in your head, it moves to your heart. You refuse to doubt, you refuse to fear, you refuse to worry. It's all coming, but you just refuse them. And you keep speaking to your mountain. Believe that what you say will come to pass because you are saying it in the name of Jesus. And stand your ground. Let's rise up as we pray. Let's pray. I believe that God has spoken to us in many different ways. I'll be asking Kevin what he learned at the end of the meeting. Just think of what you learned today. You know, we talked about living for his glory, adding value. And when I say value, I mean spiritual value, godly value, the fruit of the spirit, the fruit of righteousness. Those are value. Those are the things that God rewards you for. So just pray and say, Father, help me to live my life in the way that anything I do, whether at home, at work, at church, anywhere, whatever task I'm doing, even the most secular or menial task, I can add value, spiritual value. And what is spiritual value? The fruit of the spirit and fruits of righteousness, the works of Christ. These are spiritual value. Those are the things he will reward you for. So just pray to God and say, receive grace, you know, to live life with a consciousness that he is there. See God in everything you do. That will help you to live for his glory. Also receive grace this morning to stand your ground against whatever the devil is throwing at you. You know, rather than, you know, despairing, moaning, stand your ground on the word and your breakthrough will come. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because you are the one that causes us to triumph. You are the one that brings us into victory. We thank you for your will, your thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace and not of destruction. We thank you because your plans towards us, they are plans, you know, of good and not of evil. And so we receive grace to live a life that is pleasing to you and to stand our ground against the devil and enter into every victory that you have for us.